I am glad to be with you on Christmas Eve. And this Christmas here on God Is, we have taken a peek into the genealogy of Jesus and settled into a discussion about Joseph and Mary, the people God chose to be the earthly parents of Jesus Christ. If you're just joining us today, I encourage you to go back and download all of the previous broadcasts so you can get caught up. Those are available at 590amtheword.com, and information about how to download them will be given a little later on. That's 590amtheword.com. Also, as part of this series, I have invited you to read the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. That's Luke 1, verses 26 through 56, daily through tomorrow, which is Christmas Day. Have you been doing that? If so, then your life has been enhanced by what you are reading. How has this impacted you? Do you have any questions? Drop me a note today and tell me. My email and mailing addresses will be given soon, so be prepared to jot those down. And now let me read to you from Luke chapter 1, our text for today. I'm going to pick up at verse 30 with the angel Gabriel and Mary in conversation, and I will read through verse 33. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." This is awesome. It is the birth announcement of Jesus, and it is reminiscent of miraculous birth announcements in the Old Testament. Luke's Jewish readers were aware of these. I'll give you two examples, and let's start in Genesis 16. In this chapter, God speaks to Hagar, who is the maid of Sarai, the wife of Abraham, still called Abram at this time. Perhaps you know the story, and you remember that when Abram was unable to have children with Sarai, they came into an agreement outside of the will of God, that Abram would sleep with Hagar in order to produce a child. He does, and Hagar gets pregnant, but this forces Hagar outside the community, and in Genesis 16, she is alone and afraid. But listen to what the angel of the Lord says to her. This is Genesis chapter 16 and verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction." By the way, and I do not have time to develop this, but I believe this angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus Christ. Jesus visited Hagar long before Jesus became a man, the son of Mary. How so? Well, Jesus is eternal and everlasting. He has always existed. He exists, and he will always exist. Jesus is God, and in the Old Testament, he appears to people from time to time. We are about to see another of his appearances. Okay, so let's go to our second Old Testament birth announcement. That sounds very similar to what Gabriel says to Mary in Luke 1. For this, I want to read from the book of Judges, chapter 13. This is the birth announcement of Samson. Here again, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, appears bringing very good news. I'll pick up the reading in Judges 13, verses 2 to 5. "There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bore no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines.'" Do you know how the story of Samson goes from there? If not, you should read it. Pick up the book of Judges this week and read it. It's all true, and it's fascinating and applicable to us. So there you have it. Two birth announcements from the Old Testament that sound very familiar to what the angel Gabriel says to Mary in our text from Luke 1. And so now back to the New Testament of the book of Luke. And what Luke is doing here right at the start of his long and detailed gospel is to put into his readers' minds who Jesus Christ is. And it is important for you to keep in mind that what Luke does throughout the remainder of his writing is to then develop what he says here in his introduction. Unfortunately, we do not have time to follow Jesus through Luke. But if we did, we would see how the author shows us the real Jesus. This is who Jesus is. All I can do today is point to this incredible insight from the disciple Luke. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. In verse 32, the angel Gabriel starts to describe Jesus with this simple yet profound statement. He will be great. You know, I love that. Indeed, Jesus is great. Direct truth. Tell everyone you know this Christmas, Jesus is great. We worship Jesus who is great. And then Luke continues, he will be called the Son of the Most High. Who is the Most High? God. God is the Most High. Notice that most and high are both capitalized in your Bible. This is a proper name for God. And Jesus, the word Son, S-O-N, is also capitalized. Jesus is God's Son. So Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, the Bible teaches he is an exact representation. He is a carbon copy. He has all the same character and qualities of his Heavenly Father. God the Most High. Jesus is equal to God. We worship Jesus, the Son of the Most High. And then Luke continues with the birth announcement, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And here we come to the kingly imagery. The Lord God, so God the Father, will give Jesus the throne of his father David. David was Israel's greatest king, and David is also in the genealogy of Jesus. Luke 3, verse 31 mentions him, the son of David, the son of Jesse. In that human sense, Jesus is like an earthly son of David. The bloodline of the Messiah goes through King David. But Jesus Christ is elevated far above and beyond David, for Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is King eternal, whereas David was a mere human who has long since died. As great as David was, Jesus is even greater. Jesus is the greatest, and the throne is now Christ's throne forever. Now, let me skip a little bit ahead in Luke 1 to verse 33 and read this. Luke recounts what Gabriel said to the shocked Mary. His kingdom will have no end. That's Jesus' kingdom, and it will have no end. The kingdom, ruled and reigned over by King Jesus, never ever ends. In his human life, Jesus inaugurated a kingdom that lasts through all eternity. Jesus is permanent royalty. He is royalty of the highest order. All of the kings of the world will bow before him in prostrate praise. We worship Jesus, the King. Today we are reading in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. And in verse 33, we have read this, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Gabriel continues to speak to the young virgin, Mary, about who the baby growing inside of her is. Jesus is the one who will reign. There is royal language again. Over the house of Jacob. More on that in a moment. Notice, forever. This again speaks of the eternality, the foreverness of King Jesus. He is forever, and he is king forever. And what is the house of Jacob? This has three connotations. First, Jacob is Israel, renamed as such by God. So the house of Jacob is descriptive of Israel. Second, it speaks of the rule of Jesus during the forthcoming millennial kingdom. The what? If you do not know what this is, then please accept for now this succinct definition. The millennial kingdom is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. It is obviously still future. It has not happened yet, but it will. You can be sure of it. And it takes place after the rapture of the church and after the 7-year tribulation, also on this earth. This millennium is commenced with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus reigns on the earth in a period of a literal 1,000 years. This is a fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, and Christ's reign over the house of Jacob is a reference to this millennial kingdom. That's the second thing that you need to know about it for now. Third, this again speaks of the everlasting reign of Christ Jesus. Listen to one outstanding Old Testament prophecy that speaks to the forever rule of the Lord. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." We worship Jesus, who is the permanent and eternal King. We have learned a lot in a short period of time, and let's end by asking, what does this mean to us on Christmas Eve? I think you've heard me say it. We worship Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus, who is great. We worship Jesus, the Son of the Most High. We worship Jesus, the King. We worship Jesus, who is the permanent and eternal King. I pray that tonight and tomorrow and all the days of your life, both now and for eternity, that you will join with me and millions of Christians in worshiping none other than King Jesus. Gabriel told Mary all about him, and as a result, she worshiped him, and now we do the same. I give thanks to God for bringing us to these verses in the Bible right at Christmas. Our purpose in this world is to worship Jesus. Bow with me in adoration of our King. Make him the priority of all priorities today. Nothing and no one is more important than the Son of God. Jesus is God, and he is great and greatly to be praised. And tomorrow, I will be here, and I hope you and your family can join me as we worship Jesus with Mary in Luke chapter 1. So be back tomorrow for a very special Christmas Day edition of God Is.